This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Wednesday, November 18, 2020. The Memorial of the Basilicas of Saints Peter and Paul by Father William Doc Holliday.
Truly you are the Son of God. May the words of my mouth, meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.
Amen. We Catholics do every time we get together in the house of God, give praise to him as the Son of God, our Lord Jesus Christ, the second person of that divine, undivided Holy Trinity that we worship as God has revealed himself. For us, it is all about God. And because of that, we also appreciate everything that he has done in this world. God Almighty intrudes into this world. He is a revelatory God. This is why we know about him, because he has given us his word. He has intruded into history and given us a book that speaks about him, or I should say many books that speak of him. And he has given us the traditions of our church, the Holy Spirit superintending it, that the gates of hell will not prevail against it. We have that as an intrusion into this earth. And we have the magisterium of the Catholic Church, those who are superintended by the Holy Spirit to consistently present the traditions of the Church and to point us to this blessed and undivided Trinity. It is God's intrusion into this earth that has gone so far into even giving us structures that have a special place for us and our faith. Today is the memorial of the dedication to the basilicas of Saints Peter and Saint Paul. Most people know about Saint Peter's because that's the Vatican. That's where the Pope lives. That's where the relics of Saint Peter, the Prince of the Apostles, are stored. The Basilica of Saint Paul is interesting in that it contains the relics of Saint Paul. It is interesting because both to the north and the south of the city of Rome, you have these basilicas that are dedicated and anchor points of those two who founded the church at Rome. Rome is, in a sense, protected, shielded by these two basilicas there. They have always been, even before they were erected, these sites of these basilicas were a place of pilgrimage. They were both built initially in the 3rd century, late 3rd century, early 4th century, by Constantine, the Roman emperor. But before that, for at least 100 years before that, thousands of pilgrims used to go to these two sites because of the relics that were there of the apostles. A lot of people look at us as Catholics and they accuse us of idolatry because we venerate the Blessed Virgin Mother, we venerate the saints. They don't understand the communion of saints. They negate to pay attention to scripture about, for instance, saying that from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. Not all generations of Catholics, but all generations of Christians will call me blessed. We venerate these people and places even that the Lord has intruded into this world and provided for us to get to know him better and to see what he has done in this world. We venerate Blessed Mother of God, the saints. We even venerate churches. This is how we've always appreciated what God has done for us. You know, the naysayers, it's idolatry. We just should worship God alone. Yes, we should, and that's what we do. But we venerate where he has intruded into this world. As St. Augustine says, because the criticism is nothing new. It's not a Protestant thing because Protestants didn't exist when St. Augustine was saying what he said. He said that those who would criticize Catholics for venerating relics and saints and places. Have never been to a Catholic Mass where there was ever a place, for instance, he uses St. Peter. He said, no one has ever stood at an altar and says, we offer this sacrifice to you, St. Peter. We always offer that sacrifice to Almighty God. Now, Peter is a vehicle of something gracious and glorious that he did in the foundation of his church. But even back in the day, there were people who criticized paying attention to such things. There's even before St. Augustine, 200 years before St. Augustine, there over 200 years, there was one Caius, who was an eloquent priest in Rome, and he wrote, I can show you the trophies of the apostles, for whether you go to the Vatican Hill or the Ostian Road, you will meet with the monuments of them who by their preaching and miracles founded the church. This is how glorious these places were. Early second century, we have priests expounding on the fact that we pay attention to these two places because not what they are, but who it was that we venerate in those places and what God did through them. This is what we need to appreciate, what God did through these men. Those two basilicas, I mean, even in our day, most people are aware that bishops every 5 years go to Rome, right? It's called, they shorten it to an ad limina visit. Ad limina means to the threshold. If you just limit it out, they go to Rome and they go to the threshold, that means they meet with the Pope somewhere. It's actually ad limina apostolorum, the threshold of the apostles. During that visit, they are supposed to go to both St. Peter's and St. Paul's basilicas, because they are the founders of the church. This is what ad limina is, ad limina apostolorum. So to this day, when the bishops go to Rome, they are supposed to go to both of these places, and they do as a group to venerate the apostles to whom they are successors. This is how deep this is. This is our faith. This is how rich it is, the profound nature of our faith. God's activity in this world, even to the points where we worship. Not just the ones whose relics may be there, because all of those things are the work of the blessed and undivided Trinity. Saints Peter and Paul were the founders of the Catholic Church together. Saint Peter having primacy. It's undoubted. The gospel reading today, that gospel reading from Matthew, we look at that and we see this event. Well, what did it say about churches or anything? It's about Peter walking on the water to see Jesus. Yeah, it is. It is the first inkling in St. Matthew. It's the first inkling in Scripture because St. Matthew is the only one who adds that detail about our Lord walking on the water. Some of the other gospel writers have the Lord walking on water, but this is the only one where Peter is called to come out, because Peter starts to take a much more prominent role among the apostles after this fact. St. Peter, by this presentation, obviously has some special responsibilities that are going to require greater faith. No, fear not, it is I. Well, Lord, if it's you, bid us all to come to you. Let's all get... No, Peter speaks, bid me come to you. This is a demonstration that Peter has a special position. It is clearly affirmed in this because, again, his prominence continues. But I mean, anywhere in the Gospels, when you look at Peter, if there the Petrine primacy, whether the list be three names of the apostles or 12 names of the apostles, Peter is always first. Always. Judas Iscariot is always last. Should tell you something when he's even in the list. We have to appreciate this fact that our Lord Jesus Christ is presenting this to us. You know, Peter is always the one that was looked upon. You are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. Not a church, not the church, my church. Petrine primacy. It is obvious in Scripture. After the resurrection, our Lord Jesus Christ goes to Peter and he looks at him and he says, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? Three times. Lord, you know I love you. Peter's getting frustrated. Feed my sheep, feed my sheep, feed my lambs. How come just Peter? How come just Peter? And our Lord at another time looks at Peter and all the apostles, and he, to use Southern language, he looks, he goes, I pray for y'all, all of you, because Satan seeks to sift you, Peter, like wheat. From the plural to the singular, to Peter. Peter is always first. St. Paul, a close second. We never have a feast day to either one of them when the other one isn't mentioned. St. Paul, the first reading today. It's interesting to see what the Holy Spirit does. Again, God's intrusion into this world. For the book of Acts, chapter 28, and Paul is on house arrest. He has been taken to Rome. He's under house arrest. He's under guard. He lives in a place at his own expense with the soldier who is guarding him. It's interesting to think, a guy on house arrest, usually you're on house arrest, you just kind of hang out. The scriptures tell us that St. Paul preached the gospel unhindered during that whole time. St. Paul, although he's in fetters, so to speak, chained, the Holy Spirit maintains his freedom in spiritual matters. He might not be able to go wherever he wants and do whatever he wants, but he is still allowed to teach. And how can that happen? Rome is still, to say anti-Christian is an understatement. They're despised there. But no, St. Paul is allowed, under the other guidance and protection of the Holy Spirit, to continue to preach unhindered. And he does it for 2 years. And we don't want to lose sight of the fact, too, if you pay attention to Scripture, a lot of people say, oh, yeah, he was in under house arrest for 2 years, and then they executed him. And no, that's not what happened. He was under house arrest for 2 years, but after that, we read from Romans chapter 15, for instance, that he goes to Jerusalem, and he goes to Spain. So after he was arrested the first time, something happened, we don't know what, but he was free to walk around, to go other places for several years. Then, under Nero, it's kind of interesting that this despotic Roman ruler, they're all despots, but he even more so than others. You know, not only a despot, but a nut job. The guy was crazy. He's a psychopath. You got a psychopath in power, things get ugly. And St. Paul can do what he wants as far as presenting the gospel, even to the point of leaving Rome. Now, was he martyred ultimately? Yes, of course. But that's in the Holy Spirit's timing. He was still, again, he maintained his freedom under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. These two examples are what we see when I was speaking before about God's work in this world. God works in this world through men and women, and through their martyrdoms and through their ministries, he works. And not only their relics, but even those places in which their relics are enshrined are venerated because of the one who did these things through them. You know, you can't for a moment argue that the Holy Spirit didn't do many more magnificent and attention-grabbing things through Saints Peter and Paul than he did most other apostles. This is why the veneration of them is so profound in the Catholic Church, because of what God does. Because of what God does. This is why we do. This is why we do. Our faith is just that much more rich and deep than that of others. This is what we must appreciate. And when we appreciate it, we appreciate the fact that the Holy Spirit, who has done these things, has given us examples to follow, but also it will also empower us to do what he wants us to do if we will cooperate with those graces. And part of that cooperation is venerating those who have gone before us and who have submitted themselves to the will of God. To the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.